Good evening. It's really great to be here tonight. Thank you so much for being a part of this worship service this evening. It is a great encouragement for me to be here tonight, and I thank you so much for letting me be, for giving that to me. I'll be quite honest with you, I'm pretty exhausted, and Tracy's probably even more exhausted, and it's just because I didn't get very much sleep last night. I think it's anxiety. I look forward to this day. I look forward to doing well on a day like today, and so I slept most of the time while I've been in the car today. So, but boy, I tell you what, my spirits have been lifted when I came in this building tonight, and not only because of the brethren here, but also the visitors we have. It's good to see the Michaels with us, and it's good to see Steve Wallace. And it seems like every time I see Steve Wallace, it's just, why are you what are you doing here? It's just kind of that mentality, because last time I saw Steve, it was at Deidre Shear's wedding, and I wasn't feeling good that day either. I was fighting a cold, and I was just miserable, and I remember talking to somebody, and right in mid-discussion, I said, I'm sorry. I said, I think that's Steve Wallace over there, and you know, I've known Steve for quite a while, and I know the Marshalls have known even longer, and you know, he was a preacher at Fairmont for quite a time. Him and Mary was there, and you know, we had a lot of discussions. I stole a lot of sermons, and it was really great not only to see him then, but it's great to see you now. And I thank you so much for being here. And the offer is still here if you want to come up now and speak. I'll take it as a no. So, but it's great to see our visitors. It's great to see our brethren here. I thank you so much. And I hope you'll be encouraged and edified by this message tonight. What is the worst Christmas gift that you have ever received? I mentioned socks last week, and Tracy's like, oh, I didn't think socks was that bad a gift. I said, but it's usually characterized. I didn't say it was a bad gift, but usually it's characterized as a bad gift. So I went on the internet, and I looked for the worst gifts that we have received during Christmas time. This is a scratched-up CD of a Burn movie called Titanic. It was given to this individual, and when he tried to play the DVD, it didn't work. And then there was another one where apparently this guy was the richest individual in Minnesota. And he gave all his employees at Christmas time, not a bonus, but his autobiography. And then one guy, and I thought this topped it all, where he was given a bag of straws, and he was given a Starbucks gift card, and when he went to try to redeem the gift card, it had a zero balance on it. Well, the reason why I bring these up is we feel that when we give a gift that is bad, and when we have been given bad gifts, we have kind of emotions that come along with it. How inconsiderate, how lazy, how forgetful. And it shocks us when we get a bad gift, and we feel like we are neglected when we receive a bad gift. So my thought here tonight for you is the gift that you would give unto God. What do you bring to the table when it comes, not only when it comes to worship, but also when it comes to everything pertaining to God in your daily life? Are you bringing your best? What kind of gift do you give God? Do you give him the best that you have, or do you give him like gifts like a bag of straws? We got to be careful sometimes, because sometimes we go through emotions and we go through the motions of worship, and it just seems like it's the same thing over and over and over again, and we get to a point where we become very complacent when we come to worship, and we just say to ourselves, let's just get through this half hour that Jay is up here preaching, and then that way we can get home and continue with our lives. But look how God reminds us in those passages that was read there about how he has been disappointed of how the people of Israel were doing worship. Look how, I highlighted it in red. He tells us in verse 11, he goes, I don't delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. Keep in mind, they are doing according to the law. It's not like they're breaking the rule in truth. They could be breaking the rule in spirit. He looks there, if we look there in verse 13, it says, I cannot endure the iniquity and in solemn assembly. They come together. They come and spend time to worship him. But even now, God is telling us through Isaiah, he doesn't like it. He also continues on. He says, they become a burden to me, and I'm weary of bearing them. They are all doing these things and trying to worship God, but God replies back and says, I don't like it. It's more that I don't like it. I'm getting tired of having to deal with it. And he goes on and tells us in verse 15, he goes, you know, when you spread out your hands, I hide my eyes from you. That's harsh. It's one thing for an individual here on earth not to listen to me, but it's a whole different ballgame if I'm trying to do things according to God's will and God does not want to listen to me. And when I pray to him, as is pointed out in 15, he says, you may pray many prayers, but I'm not listening. That should hurt us. That should bother us. That should God is telling us here, you are doing something wrong. And our response to that should not be, well, you know, if he doesn't like it, deal with it. No, that's not our response. Our response should be, just like Job, when he feels like he's in iniquity, God, tell me what I'm doing wrong so I can fix this. Because I love you. I love to sing praises unto you. Guys, I tell you what, the best seat in this house is right there. It is no doubt in my mind the best seat in the house because I got a group of ladies behind me that sings. And it is the best seat in the house to hear everybody's voice come up to here and to hear these praises. It may be the sweet hour of prayer, but I think it's also a sweet time of song. And the prayers that we give now, and the prayers we think about the ones that are fighting so many difficulties, and how encouraging it is that people are thinking about me. And think about that gift that you keep on giving. You need to give a gift that is pleasing to God. And God reminds us that they are given gifts, but it's not gifts that they like. It brings up a couple of things that we need to think about here. One of the things that we need to realize is God does have expectations. It's not this, you know, one of the things I get frustrated with is sometimes people will listen to my videos. I do one in the morning. And I try to repeat over and over again, I may have even said it here, that I tell them, this is not your worship. It could be a tool to you. It could be something that encourages and edifies you to take the next step, but it is not your worship to God. Because there's two things left out when it comes to that. One, the opportunity to worship him. You're just listening to a guy. You know, Carter told me, he says, one of his friends listened to me, and he makes the argument, he goes, why do I need to go to church when I can listen to Pastor Jay on his Facebook page? I told Carter, I said, tell him I'm not a pastor. But we think that that's just fine. But God has this expectation more than that. Look how he tells us in Malachi. He says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. And if then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am the master, where is my fear, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest, you who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? Do you know how often God tells them that I am holy? That means that he is a big deal. We've done this little study of Job, and one of the things that Job reminds us at the end that God tells him, he goes, listen, you don't know how much of a part I have in this world. It's not just for you. It's for a lot of people. It's for a lot of animals. It's for the weather and the things that go around this world. That's me. That's not you. And realize that all these things is a big part, and you are a small but important part. But don't let me neglect everything because of you. God expects us to give him his due worship. Brethren, you cannot find this connection with God at your favorite fishing hole. You're not going to be able to find this connection with God at a football game or at a baseball game. You're not going to find that connection with God at your favorite coffee house, or, well, I better rephrase that, not coffee house, but somewhere where you get coffee. Because even now our coffee houses are not really houses for coffee. But we think that there is some kind of connection when we do this exclusively at these certain places. But God tells us exclusively when we come together to worship Him. That involves God, and that involves us. Not me, not you, us. And it is important to have those two factors involved. And God does have that expectation that He wants us to be a part of Him, to be a part of His worship, and not exclude everybody out. We also see, too, that He reminds us that God is aware of what we're offering to Him. He tells us in two verses down, He says, when you offer animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And He says, when you offer those that are lame and sick, is that not evil? He says, present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts. He's trying to tell them what you bring to the table here. Do you bring that to the table everywhere else that you do things? Do you give that love and that honor and that respect and that reverence and all the things that's involved in worship, do you give that to God like you give that to someone else? Here's my story where I might have to stay with somebody tonight. There was a time that Tracy wanted to see this really particular movie. And she wanted to be there. This is before they started doing assigned seats at the movie theater. This is, you had to be there to get a good seat. And I remember she was very adamant she wants to be there. And she was getting more and more angry with me because I was slacking. We got to Walmart. And of course, I went from bad to worse to the point, guys, you probably have that time when your wife grits her teeth when she's angry with you. But, Jerry, let's go right now. And if we don't go right now, then things are going to happen. And she's like, I want a good seat. And if we go to this movie theater and I don't get a good seat, there's going to be consequences for that. So I finally stopped the other down and around. We get there, we hurried, we parked the car, we made sure we got our concessions, we walked right through the door, nobody there. And of course, me being the jerk I am, I was like, where are we going to sit? But think about this though. Think about when it comes to something that we really like to do. Like a movie, like a sporting event. Like just something that you really like to do. You have this moment. You know you don't want to be late. You know you don't want to oversleep. You know that you want to have the best seat in the house. You know that you don't want to have to deal with some inconveniences. You know that you do these things. And you understand that this is what it takes to get there on time. That's what it takes to get the best seat in the house. If we take these things and we put that much value in them and we don't do this with God, then we make what Malachi says is true. If you offer this to anybody else, what would they think? You know, there's been some people that think that that congregations are boring. Why? There are some people that believe that just doing a cappella music is boring. Why? Brethren, I've said it before, I'll say it again tonight. When it comes to worshiping God, bring it. Bring the best to the table. Don't bring something lame or sick. Don't come here and say, oh, it's just been a long day, and I just want to get through this. And don't say there, Jay, I hope you don't make me fall asleep here tonight. Now, I know that's a poke at Les, but it says, Jay, don't make me fall asleep here tonight. Let's try to take this opportunity and take the initiative to get something out of this. Whether it is something that you are encouraged by listening to, or it's something that you have heard a millions of times, and now I'm here for the millionth and one time. Because God is paying attention. If this is the individual that says, let there be light and there be light, we'd be very naive to think that he's not paying attention to what we give back to him. And also, don't think for a second God can't get mad. There's a couple times you find in Scripture when God is angry. And I'll tell you the one particular time is when he talks to Moses. And when he talks to Moses and he tells him that you need to go let my people go, every excuse comes into the book. Until the last thing he says is, please send someone else. That's when God got mad. You want to make God mad? Do nothing. Sometimes when we come here, we just want to be the spectator. We just want to sit back. We want to listen to the sermon. The sermon better be good. The singing better be good. The prayer better not be 5 hours long. We want all these things to satisfy my needs. I want to have a songbook that has songs that I like to sing out of. I want a God that comes up here. He wants to make me laugh, make me cry, and maybe even edify me in between. We want these things, and we desire these things, but we never say to ourselves, what can I do to make this better? What can I do to make my singing stronger? What can I do to make my adherence to the prayer stronger? What can I do to build up one another in this time of building up worship to our Lord? He says, oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. That mentality of saying, y'all be glad I'm here, because I thought about not being here. How many times have we had individuals say, well, you know, I could be at home, but I made a choice to be here. But when they've come here, they haven't come anything that has truth or spirit behind it. They just come in and just sit down and be a part of a chair. God reminds us, this bothers him. And it was better for you to stay at home because you didn't really bring anything here. That's why he says, I wish one of you would have shut the door, because what you bring to me is not worth you being here. I have no pleasure in you, and I will not accept an offering from our hand. So if you understand that God has these expectations, and he is aware of the things that we do, and he can be offended, then what should we think about when we reflect on these things here tonight? Well, one of the things that we should be bothered about, it should bother us when we have not given our best. In Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, it says, hear what the Lord says. Arise and plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear you, O mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the Lord, of the earth, for the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. He's saying, what is going on that you can't do this? What is the problem? It's not like he's unaware of the problem. The thing is, can you answer yourself what the problem is? There was a church, and maybe I got my information crossed here a little bit, but I think there was one time there was a church that was going to make an effort not to have cell phones in their places of worship and tablets. And it wasn't because it was against technology. It's because we could be so guilty of just finding other things to do. My phone, it has the Bible on it. It has commentary on it. I take notes sometimes with my phone. There's sometimes some people was wondering, why is Jay back there taking pictures of up here? And it's because I'm taking pictures of the sermon that you're bringing out. Because I want to study it. Because I think it's good. And it gives glory to God. But just in that same aspect, there's also other things on there. And guys, you know just as much as I do, how many times does an app come up? Hey, this is going on. Hey, the Blue Jackets are losing again. Hey, the weather is going to change here. Hey, even Bible verses will pop up. But you see how applications on our phone can just distract us in a finger snap. And we become so focused on that that we forget about everything else that's going on around us. It should bother you when your mind wanders off. It should bother you when you fall asleep in service. It should bother you when you're late. And if that doesn't bother you, that should bother you. Eric Cochran, maybe he'll listen, maybe not. He's listened to me once already. But he's a friend of mine at my congregation in Clarksburg. And there's times after services, he'll tell me, hey, you done a real good job. Or he'll even text me, hey, you done a real good job. I don't think there was one time he told me I did a bad job, but he was joking. But think about this. What if after services, one of you guys come up to me and say, Jay, that's not good. That would bother me. It should bother me. And instead of being angry and saying, well, what does that person know? Maybe I should need to work on it a little bit more. But imagine if it was on the other foot. Imagine if I was in the audience and you're up here. And you're the one that has to bring it to me. What it would be like? Would you have a, hey, I think you did a good job tonight. Or, no, I don't think you did a very good job at all. But brethren, when it comes to this opportunity to come and worship God, if we have become a situation where we're so distracted by everything going on, that should bother us. It should bother us when we don't bring our best. So, maybe it's time to ask for forgiveness. Look how God tells us there in Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Where he tells us here about how, once again, I used this before, I'll use it again. We talk about how we need to figure out what we're doing wrong and ask ourselves, what can we do to improve? You're not the best singer in the world. Dwight has classes. Dwight has certain times after services on Sunday nights to sing certain songs that we probably don't sing on a continual basis. There was a time at my congregation at Elk Fork when I was a preacher there. I said to them, hey, let's get new songbooks. That went out the door. You know why? Because my guys that lead songs at my congregation at Elk Fork, they didn't bring the same song every time. There are some individuals, maybe you can relate to this, there are some individuals, they come lead songs, and I know one guy in particular right off the top of my head, he says, I lead this, this, and this, and I don't lead nothing else. Really? Is that edification for you? Is that edification for them? That you only bring three songs to the table, and every time you come up, they say within themselves, I know what he's going to lead. Or how about how many times when we come to a prayer and when somebody prays and you already say within yourself, I know what he's going to say. He's going to talk about the day that we have been given. Be with the preacher. Forgive us of our sins. Amen. Is that really bringing your best to the table? That tells me that probably you don't pray as often as you should. When it comes to individuals doing a Bible study, I mean, maybe that's why I spaz out every Saturday night. It's because I know someone's going to bring a question, and I worry I'm not going to have the answer. Have you had that, Steve? I know you had it at Fairmont, because I had it at Fairmont. But somebody's going to bring something to the table. You're just not ready. And no matter how hard that you guys try to prepare for a Bible study on Sunday morning or on Wednesday night, you're not truly prepared. And it's not for a lack of trying. It's because you don't know what's going to be brought to the table. And that's hard. But imagine the individual that does not take it with that severity. Imagine what that study is like. Imagine how that audience is saying to themselves, wow, maybe it was better for me to stay home. Maybe I should have shut the doors. So maybe the right attitude here is not to say, let them fix what they need. Ask yourself, what do I need to do to bring my best? Do you realize that that's like, maybe it's a bad term. Well, it's like wildfire. When somebody is encouraging and edifying to you, Somebody is willing to do that. I remember this one guy down home that I've called on him on multiple times to have a public prayer. He's shut me down every time. But one time in the evening, I remember Tom Fagan getting up here, and he said, so-and-so, would you lead a prayer? He told him, yes. Is it me? I can't baptize people, now I can't get people to lead in a prayer? But that's just it. Just look how that iron sharpens iron. And we need that. We should be longing for that. And not only to long for that, that we can build each other up, but God looks at his sacrifice of you and he says, yes, that is well, my servant. Yes, that is encouraging. And that's something I am listening to, my servant. Yes, that is something that I want you to do. That is a sweet-smelling Savior. Also, don't be afraid to make adjustments. Prepare well. Worship is an action. I just did a sermon this morning. You'll hear it probably next Sunday about how it is more to it than just a confirmation that you're a Christian. There's more to it in our life when we become a child of God. There's more to it in our life when it comes to being a follower of Christ. When it comes to worship, it is not a spectator sport, it is an action. And that worship involves all of me. The psalmist, one of the smaller psalms that we read in Psalms 100 says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness, come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give him thanks. Bless his name. Do you know how many times the translator has used an exclamation point? It's not just God. It is the Lord. Do you ever notice how the Lord is written in the Old Testament? Capitalized. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is the Lord. It is a big deal when you call out to the Lord. It is a big deal when you give honor to the Lord. It is a big deal when we give him praise with thanksgiving. Why is it that we make time for all the things we like to do? We will cram everything, we will crunch things in minutes instead of hours just so we could take this one time to do something that we really like to do. Brother, I'm not condemning you for doing leisure activities. That is not the point here. As the Ecclesiastes reminds me, there's a time for everything. But why is it that we take this opportunity to do something we really like and we do it with the best of our ability? This is going to be embarrassing. But, you know, when I was in the car with Tracy, I think it was on our way home from something. Oh, it was on our way home from the hockey game, I think. The song Fire Woman came on the car. And I remember when that part, when it says fire, I started yelling. She's like, Jay, stop it. But think about this, though. When it comes to a song that you like on the radio, you will sing it loud and proud, and you don't care if somebody, the next car over, pays attention to you or not. It doesn't matter because that's a song you like. Now, you think about the songs that you sing here. Do you do that with that same tenacity? When it comes to a message that you like to hear, do you let that individual know you like hearing that? You know that you need that. I need that, and I can spread that. I don't need to just keep it here. I can tell it to other people as well. Peyton called me. He says, hey, Dad, where's that Men of Iron sermon that you did? Do you know that was stolen too? This sermon is stolen as well. You know why I stole it? It's because I liked it. And I thought to myself, if I liked it, maybe you will like it too. But that Men of Iron sermon is really popular. And that was from a guy that I went to go see during a softball clinic. And he says, this is going to be the shortest sermon I'll ever have here. And it was. It was 15 minutes. But I liked it. And I liked it so much, I stole it. Maybe that's a bad word to keep using up here because I'm a preacher and I'm talking about stealing. But that was a good sermon. And he invited me to preach to his congregation. And I used that sermon. And I reminded that congregation of that sermon that he gave, build me up to give to them and give to him and let him know how much I appreciate him. Brethren, if there is things that we say within ourselves, how do I improve on this? Remember, we can ask God. But we also have so many other things that we have here on earth that can make us better people, better men, better women, better brethren. And that goes to my last point. The best should be is all that I can do. It says, my lips will shout for joy. When I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. For they have put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. The psalmist kind of reminds us here, just like a lot of psalms that we go through in the book of Psalms, it talks about how great God is and how he takes this opportunity, and some of these psalms are credited to David, that great king takes this time to worship the king. That should be the nature of worship. David brings it to the table. David will give him his best. David will sing praises to him. And he will represent his soul on how he sings or how he meditates on his word. We talked there a couple months back about how, you know, he talks about how great the word is. And keep in mind, he's just talking about Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. He is not talking about maybe the most entertaining books to read. He is not talking about the books that we like to meditate on. He is talking about law, and he's talking about that is the stuff that he wants. And look how better things that we have. In closing, sometimes it is easy for us to get distracted. People walking up and down the aisle. Calling out Melody there. But think about this, though. There's people walking up and down the aisle. You guys have a lot of young children. And I know young children are not easy to deal with. I have three. And they got you fooled. Because you think they're angels, and they're not. Sometimes there's something that happens that we get distracted, and we just fade away. And the reason why I bring this up, because there's a story this preacher told about how this one lady after services, she would come up to him and said, brother so-and-so got up three or four times. Sister so-and-so's baby cried and was nonstop for minutes. It just kept going on about how many distractions that she had. And he says, you know what? The next time you come here, he says, I'm going to give you something. And I'm going to tell you what you need to do when you get here. So when she comes into this auditorium, he gives her a glass filled to the brim with water. And he says, I want you to take that to your seat. And I want you not to drop one drop. So just like all of us, you don't have to be any particular age. You have this focus where you have taken that water, filled to the hilt. You made sure you don't drop a drop. You have taken it all the way to your seat. You sat down with it. You made sure that nothing was going to stop you from spilling this water. Not even one drop. So after she did this, he asked, whose kids were crying? Who got up? Who sneezed loud, like Russ Johnson? She says, I don't know. I was focusing on the water. I said, that's right. Brethren, if you come here to be distracted, you'll get distracted. And it's easy. And it's not because people are trying to be distractible. It's because we become easily distracted. Don't lose your focus when it comes to the Lord. It is easy with all the things that go on in this world today to become easily distracted. We have a moment right now that we take this opportunity to even bring our best to an opportunity to show ourselves pleasing to God. Baptism, I love how we repeat over and over again in Peter that this is a good conscience towards God. This is something that is acceptable unto him. This is something that he has an expectation for us to do. It's not something we just made up and we got it back there in a foyer in a rule book. This is something we find in the scriptures. Repentance is another thing. This is something that is encouraging. And we talked there a couple or last week, or maybe even a week before that, about how when tragedy happens, it's bad when this happens. It's even more tragic for the individual who has the opportunity to repent, not to repent. And that's available for us here tonight, too. And then we have an opportunity to pray. And how encouraging is it that, you know, I've heard what's going on with Vicky, and thinking about individuals that come by Chuck tonight and say, we're thinking of you, we're praying for you. That's not an encouragement to him, but that's also an encouragement to me, to hear individuals that want us to be mindful of what's going on with our own brethren. Sometimes we need just an exclusive prayer just to pray about these things. And that's available for you tonight too. If someone needs to respond to these things, let's take the opportunity to do it right here, right now. Won't you come while we stand, while we sing?